All right, well, we had an opportunity to, you know, to try to take and do a talk if we wanted to. And it was the question of this talk tonight that really led me to want to give it. And it was, how does a good God, how does such a great God allow so much evil and suffering to exist in the world? And I thought that I was going to, you know, kind of interest in this question kind of rose because, you know, a lot of times people who either fall away from Christianity or fall away from Catholicism or atheists, it's not always like the core of the arguments, but it's one of those arguments. How could such a great God allow so much evil to exist? And so I think it's important to kind of look at the question. What I'd like to start with is in John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. This question kind of comes up. So I'll give you a second if you're leafing through before I start. All right, so John chapter 9. As he passed by, he saw a man born blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. Well, I am in the world. I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. I think when you're kind of looking at this passage a little bit, one of the things to kind of understand that for the Jewish people, they had the same word for suffering and for evil. They didn't really have a word for suffering. They just thought when something bad happened to you, it was because you had done something wrong. So you had sinned. So when something bad happened to you in your health or when your children died, it was because you had done something wrong in your life that had caused that to happen to you. And Jesus kind of says pretty definitively here, no, it's not because he sinned. It's not because his parents sinned. This man's blind because the works of God need to be made known. They need to be revealed to the whole world. And I guess so, kind of going into the talk, I wanted to kind of differentiate the difference between evil and suffering. Because evil can cause suffering, but they're not the same thing, and evil doesn't always cause suffering. So the first thing here that I wanted to look at was kind of, so why is there evil? Like, what is evil, and why is there evil? Well, evil is kind of the consequence of having free will. So in order to have love, you have to be given the choice to choose to accept God. And but in the choice, you can choose to reject God. So that's kind of what evil is. And what I want to talk about, I guess the way the talk goes through here is first talking about how love is a choice. That in this free will that we're given, this choice to accept God and to accept his will kind of shows you what love is. Love is a choice, a commitment to God, and love is a commitment to other people to do what's best for them. And it's kind of, I guess, the way that our society thinks about marriage kind of showcases this kind of like messed up view of love, where love is seen as more of a feeling than as a choice. So in our society, a lot of movies, you'll see it like all over the place, where people need to be in love to be married, and that's why you would get married. But then it kind of begs a question, like, so what happens if you're not, like, in love with the person that you're married to? What happens next? And I think that's one of the big causes of divorce in our society especially. Because what Christ and the church says is that marriage is a covenant and it's a commitment. It's a choice to do what's best for somebody else. And that type of an idea would lead to not having much divorce because when things get tough, you wouldn't give up. Because you're going to make the choice to do what's best for somebody else, for your wife, or for your husband. One of the things that I wanted to kind of look at here was where did evil come from? And evil kind of came from a choice to reject God. And the first time evil kind of entered creation was when some of the angels chose to reject God and his vision. So before the world, before the universe, well, not before the, I guess kind of before the universe, there were angels that were created, they were intellect, and God let them see the beatific vision. Like, here's my plan. Like, there's going to be an earth, and there's going to be this group of creatures called humans that are going to be there, and I'm going to love them. And I'm going to love them so much that I'm going to have my son, who is also God, who's going to become man and die for their whole sins, and that's how they're going to reach their salvation. But when Lucifer and the other fallen angels saw that vision, they rejected it. They thought that that was ridiculous. When they rejected God, they were banished from heaven. And that's like where evil comes from, a choice against God. You see the same thing in the story of Adam and Eve and the fall of man. That God says, don't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And Adam and Eve choose to go against God. They reject him. And that's how sin comes into humanity. So anyway, that's where evil kind of comes from. God, out of his great love for us, wanted to give us a choice. But one of the choices you can make is to reject God. And so that's where evil comes from. The other thing I wanted to talk about, because I think this is really what this particular passage is really talking about, is suffering. So what's suffering, and why is there suffering? The first thing I wanted to kind of mention is that there is a connection between evil and suffering, because if you look at this list, there's reasons for suffering here. The first two are somebody chooses evil. So if somebody else chooses evil, their choice can negatively impact you. So their choice to choose evil affects you and causes you suffering, some difficulty in your life. Or you can choose evil. And when you choose evil, it causes difficulty for you. But there's also good. There's like, I guess suffering can have good elements to it, and suffering can be good for you. And that's the next three ways, 3, 4, and 5 here. One cause for suffering or reason for suffering is that God lets you suffer to condition you. So in meeting the suffering, it can help you to build endurance and to build your character. Another reason for suffering would be God allows you to suffer because the way you respond to suffering, if you come to him, if you go to Jesus Christ, it can heal your soul. So even though you may have an illness, even though you may have something difficult, really difficult going on in your life, if you go to Jesus, if you go to God, it can heal you, and it can be good for your eternal salvation. Another reason that God allows people to suffer is that through facing the suffering and the difficulty, it can make his works known. So by the way that you deal with the suffering, by the way that you encounter and work through it, other people see you, and other people see Jesus Christ in you. Let's see here. So I guess in summary of the first two bullet points there, suffering is not evil, but evil can cause suffering. And some suffering is allowed as a result of free will, and some suffering is allowed because good can come out of it. And what I wanted to talk about next just kind of was the most important part of this whole talk, is that Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, turns the suffering into something good. That he can turn, when you sin, he can wipe the sins clean. And it was Christ who healed the blind man, allowed him to see. And the purpose was to make sure that the works of God could be made known. And to let us know today that suffering has purpose in our own salvation and the salvation of the whole world. And I guess before I kind of give a personal story, I just kind of wanted to go through 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 22 or 23 through 25. So let's see here, chapter 1 Peter. All right, so starting at verse 23, Peter here is talking about Jesus, and he says, when he was insulted, he returned no insult. When he suffered, he did not threaten. Instead, he handed himself over to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body upon the cross, so that free from sin, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you had gone astray like sheep, but you have now returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. And I think really like one of the best things is when something difficult comes up in your life, it's really important to turn to Jesus and to turn to God. Kind of one of my, like, I guess most recent challenges was married for about 8 months. My wife and I found out that we were probably infertile and we'd never be able to have our own biological children. And at first, that was a really hard pill to swallow. That was something that it wasn't easy to kind of, my whole life, like, you know, my dad was a wonderful father. My mother was a wonderful mother. And I just wanted to have a family at some point in my life to be able to give that gift to my own children. And it kind of took a little bit of time to kind of wrap my mind around the fact that, you know, that I might not be able to have that. But I guess I kind of, within a couple of weeks of praying about it, I kind of realized just because someone is not my biological child, it doesn't mean that they couldn't be my child. And I thought, you know, my wife and I will try this adoption route, and we'll try to provide a home for a child that might not have, you know, a happy home. And so we went through this process, and right about the time that we started actually going to the adoption agency and started getting our names put in, and going through some of the classes, my 18-year-old cousin got pregnant. And we didn't know about it, but when she was pregnant for about 3-4 months, she called us and contacted us. We'd like to adopt the baby that was, you know, growing inside of her. And, you know, we said, yeah, that we'd be honored. And so that whole process ended up working out. Kathleen was born on April 11th, and we were there in the hospital. I got a cut in the umbilical cord, and we have this beautiful baby in our house now. And she's going to turn one April 11th this year. And the other, at least like this week, just kind of talking about how God can transform things and make gifts in your life. My wife and I were kind of arguing. I don't even remember what we were fighting about. It was probably something silly. But Mary Kay was holding Kathleen, and Kay started to cry a little bit, and Kathleen tried to put her binky in her mouth, and it like, made her start laughing. So she started laughing, and then Kathleen, because she's a hugger, she was like, and like started to hug her, and then started trying to fight to get down on the ground. And I was kind of, so I kind of stopped, because I was kind of watching, what is my daughter doing? And she like tried to scurry to the ground, so Kay let her down, and then she came like, kind of walking, stumbling, running over to me, and then she gave me a hug. So she was like, I guess, trying to get us to stop fighting with each other. But but I guess that's the big point of this talk is just, you know, the reality of life is that difficulty happens, that like obstacles are going to come your way, and that bad things happen to everybody. But Jesus Christ makes even the bad things good, that he redeems your soul, and he can turn your life into something good. And that's pretty much all I have really to say today.
Well, as Nate was talking, I was just thinking about how, and actually throughout this day, how appropriate it is that this talk is this Sunday, as we go into the celebration of Holy Week, realizing that, like, the most horrific death, basically, in all of human history has been transformed into the glorious victory over the grave. And if we look throughout salvation history, like, we know the victory of Jesus, of God the Father as, like, rescuer and redeemer, because all the Israelites were imprisoned and enslaved in Egypt because they were going through this horrible suffering and oppression. We know how victorious God can be because of their suffering. If we look at the book of Tobit, which we're going through in girls' group, is there's like all these very strange ways that they're suffering. Tobit is, he becomes blind because a bird poops in his eye. Yep, that's real life. And he has like cataracts on his eyes, and he is like blinded by that. But God sends the archangel Raphael to heal him of that while simultaneously healing another situation. And so we see that God is even victorious over random things like that. We know the story of Tobit because of that. But I wanted to share with you also a personal testimony as well. My grandma is 88 years old, and she right now, they live in Upper Arlington, and my mom is one of 7 kids, and right now my grandma is basically dying of dementia. And or she has dementia, but it's just like horrific. And like, I grew up with my grandma like taking care of us when we lived in Upper Arlington, so I would go over there once or twice a week, and they would babysit. I mean, we have this humongous family. There's like 25 grandkids, and so it's this incredible, like, beautiful family that I've been born into. And as she's like deteriorated, and also as my grandpa has as well, we've just, the whole family has taken over, like, caring for them, basically. So someone goes, like, one of my mom's siblings goes in the morning, and she, they will, like, wake up my grandma, and, like, take her, like, get her out of bed, and then at lunch, somebody comes and brings lunch for them, because my grandpa can't drive anymore, and then somebody comes later in the afternoon to just kind of care for her, care for them, bring dinner, and then one of the siblings comes, like, later that night to put my grandma to bed, because my grandpa can't do it. And I was there the other night by myself, which was, like, that's, like, really hard for me to go over there, just because it's, like, a lot, because I don't know how to care for them. But I was sitting there just kind of, like, watching her. She can barely talk anymore. She, like, ate basically, like, 4 pieces of pancake when I was there, and that was, like, a victory that she would eat that much. She has no idea who I am. She'll ask, like, every other minute, like, and who are you? I'm like, oh, Megan, you're a granddaughter. And I was leaving that night, and I was, like, crying as I was going over to Paula's house, just kind of thinking, like, why is this happening? Like, why, Lord, don't you just take her? Because this isn't even, like, an existence at all. She has no idea what she's doing. Like, she can't even eat. She sleeps until noon and then, like, goes to bed at 8 o'clock. Like, what kind of life is that? But as I was thinking about that, I recognized that I have seen some of the most beautiful things in all of my life by watching my grandmother go through this. It's, like, my Uncle Phil, who is my godfather, who is, like, kind of the crazy uncle in our family, like, not, I wouldn't describe him as, like, a softy. I watched him, like, just carry his mother and put her to bed the other night. And I mean, it was, like, the most incredible thing. I'm gonna cry right now. And I have watched as our family, like, has come together to care for this woman. And I would not be able to see all these things. And my prayer has been so focused on, like, that's what the Lord does to me. I'm so frail and I'm so little and I can't even feed myself. And so he gives himself to me in the Eucharist. And I can't, like, get up sometimes because the weight of my sin is so heavy. But he, like, lifts me up and carries me. And there's sometimes that she'll, like, kind of be gross because she can't take care of herself anymore. And just, like, all of us still see past that and can see just, like, how beautiful she still is. And I think that has just been, like, such a gift for us. And so I explain all this, as Nate did. It's just that so many times we can get so wrapped up in, like, suffering in itself and why it's so difficult. Yes, it is so hard for my grandmother or for our whole family to have to, like, make time to do that. But are we seeing so much more, like, the glory that can come from suffering? Yes. So we're going to take the next, like, minute or two. You guys can write down what stuck out to you. And I challenge you to kind of think about your own stories of suffering. Where have you seen that in your life? Maybe it is, like, a death of somebody, or maybe it's just, like, a hardship with friends. And then I challenge you to think about how you have seen how God was actually working in that situation, so that we can bring those stories to small group time.